as we're getting free in Christ, one of the main things we're getting free from is codependent relationships, or looking to people instead of to God, or having people look to us instead of to God, okay? And so you can have every aspect of this. You can be the one who wants people to look to you and make decisions for them. Or let's say you may have that with your children. My children, I need to tell them what to do and how to do it, or your employees or whatever. And then to somebody else, you look to them. Well, this person will do. So you can actually have all this going at one time with different relationships. So what I'm going to focus on tonight is secrecy. Secrecy is always from the enemy. Secrecy, keeping a secret. The person who's telling you the secret, they're bringing you into a soul tie with them, or they're bringing you to an agreement with them that they are in charge of who you tell this to, or that you can't tell this. Okay. Now, who should be in charge of what you say? Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, Jesus. Holy Spirit should be in charge. So when you say, I promise I won't tell anybody, what if the Holy Spirit wants that thing exposed? So when anyone ever says to me, I want to talk to you confidentially, I'll say, well, I just want you to know I don't. First of all, I almost always have somebody else with me when I talk to someone, and I've learned that the hard way. See, confirmation. And because you learn when you do this ministry especially that two people can be involved in the exact same conversation and completely hear it differently and completely believe the way they're hearing it is the way it went down. But they're hearing it through their opinions, they're hearing it through their hurt places, they're hearing it through their preconceived ideas, they're hearing it through their cultural, they're hearing it understandings, they're hearing it through their judgmental thinking, their analytical thinking. So you can already see what a big mess it can be. You need to know that God doesn't want you to be pulled into people's secrets. Now we're talking a minute about discretion and privacy because Jesus participated in those, okay? But the word secret, let me see if I have the word here for secret. The word actually, part of the word means to separate, to cut off. It means to properly separate, hide, concealed from the notice or knowledge of all persons except the individual or individual concerned. So the word secret actually means to cut that person off from other people. So the whole idea of a secrecy is to make someone feel superior and special or obligated to you. It's to bring you into an agreement in darkness. Okay? Because secrecy is always in darkness. Secrecy is shame-based. Now, I'm not talking about gossip. Sometimes people will do that with gossip. Like, don't tell anybody because it's gossip. And somebody probably told you not to tell anybody. Then you're telling them not to tell anybody. And God will deal with the whole gossip thing, okay? I was in a situation, Karen will remember this. This is pretty funny. God is really cool at getting secrets out of people. And I went to a church years ago, and they actually I was having a retreat, and some people from that church, and I was very well respected in the church and everything, but somebody started spreading gossip and little innuendos and all this kind of hyper spirituality about me and things. And the Lord protects you, and He takes care of your reputation, so you don't have to try to do it. And so the night before this retreat, we had these people calling saying they weren't going. They paid and everything, and they just weren't going. Well, this one lady who was at that time kind of even traveled with our ministry, we were in the baby stages of going to minister. We're still in the baby stages, but that was the baby stages. And anyway, so she was very torn because they brought her in and told her in secrecy that they were watching us, watching me. I can't remember why. I don't have a clue why, and started sowing seeds of distrust and division and stuff, and only because of jealousy. So this person was driving along with us, and all of a sudden, they honestly almost couldn't breathe. And we're like, what is going on? Do you know who I'm talking about? And I just looked, I said, what, are you okay? Do we need to pray? And all of a sudden it just came out and they said, there was a special meeting last night of the elders and they called us in and they're all discussing this retreat and you're having this retreat. And I don't know, God would not let me breathe until I told you. I said, well, that's nice. And we prayed for everybody and blessed them. And then when I went back, I went to the pastor and I said, what's this about a special secret meeting without having me there? Which didn't make him happy, God will expose what's done in darkness. God will shout it from the housetops, the Bible says, those things done in secret. In the scripture, it says, even in the church back then, it says it's a shame, the horrific things that are done in the church. Paul was talking about, you wouldn't even want to know some of the things that are done. And I have a feeling it hasn't changed a lot in this day. Okay, this is this other word for secret. Something studiously concealed. To tell our own secrets is often folly. To communicate those of others is treachery. We don't want to be in a situation where we can perform treachery. That's treason, turning on someone. Jesus is our Lord. Holy Spirit is our convictor. Okay? So the Holy Spirit will convict you when you share something you shouldn't be sharing. And the Holy Spirit will be grieved if you share something that shouldn't be shared or you're sharing it with the wrong person. And you'll feel that uncomfortable feeling of conviction. And when that happens, you need to repent. And you need to ask the other person to forgive you. And many times it's hard because once you share something, you've shared it. And what you can't do is pull that other person into an alliance with you. A loyalty. We're not to be loyal to anyone but Jesus. But if we're loyal to Jesus, he will cause us to be honorable people. He will cause us to be. Now discretion is you don't share things. You don't share intimate things. A husband and wife have an intimate relationship. And so what they do that should be holy and Jesus should be able to smile upon it. But it doesn't mean you need to get together, guys, in the locker room and talk about what you did with your wife last night in the bedroom. And women, it doesn't mean you get on the phone and start sharing those private things. Now, they shouldn't be shameful. So if you have a spouse who has you do something that makes you feel shame and they want you to keep it secret, you need to go talk to somebody about that. You need to pray about who can I talk to, okay? Private is different. You know, you keep something private because it's discretion, because it's not going to benefit or it shouldn't be out yet. Jesus, the scripture about private where the Lord showed me this was in Matthew 17. So let's go there for a second. Matthew 17. And I know we got to get free from being busybodies. We got to get free from gossip. We got to get free from all these things that will have us. We got to get free from coarse joking. You know, there's all kinds of things God's working on in us. Thank God he loves us. And thank God there's the cross. And thank God we can repent. But we should be getting more holy, okay? We should be changing. We shouldn't be who we used to be. Thank God. But there's no condemnation in Christ. So you don't have to beat yourself up for doing or sharing things you shouldn't have shared, or you just need to really repenting, is really hating it, seeing it, and turning from it. All right, Matthew 17. After 6 days, Jesus takes along Peter and James and his brother John and leads them up to a high mountain privately. So it's okay. Jesus says, hey, you guys, come on. Don't tell everybody else. Just come on. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothing became white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. And answering, Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you desire, let us make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. While he was speaking, behold, a radiant cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud said, this is my son, the beloved, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. And hearing, the disciples fell on their face and greatly feared. Coming near, Jesus touched them and said, rise up and do not fear. And lifting up their eyes, they did not see anyone except Jesus alone. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus enjoined them, saying, tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man is raised from the dead ones. All right. So what was this? Jesus had a purpose in them being there. He wanted them to really, really understand that he is the Son of God. He wanted them to understand that he's always been from the beginning of time, that he personally knew Moses and Elijah. He actually created them. That though they recognized him as the Son of Man, the Bible says later that they would know him no longer by the flesh. So he was revealing himself, I believe, as he was before he came as a man. He's the image of God. I believe he looked the same, but he came, he has a glorified body, and he was revealing that to them. So it's okay to have some people that you share some things with, and you don't have to share those with everybody. And if you ask somebody to keep something confidential or private, there should be a reason, and there should be a time or people or whatever where they can share that. In other words, it wasn't something to bring them into bondage with you or a soul tie with you. Do you understand that? So God wants us to understand that secrecy is Satan trying to get someone into bondage or codependency. And it's a counterfeit of really private, you know, some, you know, taking them alongside somebody aside privately and sharing with them without the demonic spirit on it. Okay, let me get this. Everything that you do almost can look the same. And one can be demonic and one could be fine. It's not based necessarily on what you're doing. It's based on the spirit behind what you're doing. Okay? It's based on the spirit behind what you're doing. So, someone can share something with someone. The Bible says it's wisdom to get counsel, to get godly counsel. The Bible says there's wisdom in that. And so, getting biblical counseling or getting godly counseling from people who you know love the Lord, who you know aren't busybodies or gossips or whatever, that's wisdom. Sometimes you just need to share and get something out. But that doesn't mean that you would take that same conversation and share it with someone who's divisive or share it with someone who goes out of their way to cause trouble. There's something wrong if your spouse has to tell you every single thing they said to their friend, every place they've been, every place they're going, everything they're doing. That's control. Okay, that's control. You have to look. In God, everything we say to someone should be trust-based, not because we don't trust. Do you get that? If I share something with Vicky, it's because I trust Vicky that she'll have the wisdom from God to know what to do with what I share with her. It's not distrust-based. In other words, trying to make somebody share everything because you don't trust them. Tell me what you did. Tell me why you're doing it. Tell me where you've been. Tell me. That's all, you know, fear-based. But you can have your children talk to you because of trust-based relationship. And that you need to start when they're really young. Same with a husband and wife. You want to build trust so that you're free to share whatever you want to share. And there's no hidden things that could cause shame or could cause that other person to change the way they feel about you. I mean, there is nothing that anyone could come up and tell John that would cause him to come home upset and not trusting me anymore. I really encourage you, before you marry someone, you need to tell them anything in your past that someone else knows that might tell them before they marry you, so that you're not afraid hiding from that. And if you're biblical, everyone here, you'll only be dating and marrying Christians. So bring them here if they need to get free from shame and control and intimidation, all that stuff, so you can tell them in love. That way, if somebody tries to hold something over on you, they can't. Because you, if you, as a Christian, you can get free from shame, and then you can share in a way that other person knows, but it's not a place of continual conversation or bringing it up again or bringing it up again. Truthfully, if you share your past, the Bible says that God is faithful and just to forgive us all sin, but we're to confess our sins. Why does God want us to confess our sins? To get it out of the shame secrecy place. To get it out of the shame secrecy place. But then discretion would say, you don't need to tell your children all of that. Like if you weren't a believer or you weren't a believing believer, you aren't believing in holiness, then there's no sense in telling your 6 or 7 year old or even your 10 year old what you were doing when you weren't a believer. Lord told me a long time ago, don't see your children through how you behaved because you didn't know me and you weren't raised the way that they've been raised. You see them through God's standards and his expectations. You love them unconditionally, but don't see them through where you had sin issues. Don't see them through where you had problems. Don't see them through where you didn't do good in school. Don't project your junk on your children. You need to really ask the Lord to help you with that. People who project their areas of failure onto their children will try to protect their children from doing that. And by doing that, many times actually set their children up to fall into those same patterns, those same sin. Just watching the thing you fear most come on you. So you really need to deal with those fears. You need to deal with the fear that you take on control to try to prevent. What is it in your child that you are trying to stop from happening? That you're so afraid is going to happen. Because you're even in agreement with the enemy's ability to do that is empowering the enemy to do that. Because you're not parenting in faith, you're parenting in fear. So you need to spend some time with God getting free from that.